How many of you know that when the Lord blesses and He's involved in it, no one loses. No one gets ripped off. That's the world system. I prospered in the world, but somebody had to lose in order for me to win. The Lord dealt with me. He said, that's not my way. That's a little different, isn't it? And I always pray to the Lord and I say, Lord, have mercy on that company that's ripping us off and charging way more than they ought to. So my children would say, how come they charge that much? I say, because they can. How fast do you think the price would go down if everybody stopped buying it? Say, I don't understand why it costs so much for popcorn at the movie theater. There's a line. Yeah. You see how that works? As long as someone is willing to pay, that's the price. Now, why did I share that? Power principle. I like to give power principles of the kingdom every now and then. Do you notice that? You all should have like 7 of them. Just throw them in. Power principle. The power of agreement. You can say it this way. The law of two. Nothing ever happens until there's two. Nothing ever happens until there's two. Okay? The power of agreement. The price of anything is not established until somebody agrees with it. You can tell me, Jamie, my car's worth $100,000. I'll sell it for $100,000. It's worth $100,000. I mean, you know, it ain't worth $100,000 until somebody pays them $100,000. That's why we're two or more agree as touching. The Father says, it's done. Why is it done? Because He said so. By the power principle of two. Why do you think that He wants us to come into agreement with Him and His Word? Why does it have to happen that we come into agreement with the Lord and His Word? So it comes to pass. Jesus is not Lord the day you received Him as Jesus is Lord. He's been Lord. You just came into agreement. And wham! Right? Wham! Power of agreement. What's the first thing I must do to be in agreement? I have to check out what I'm saying. How many of you know it's not hard to misunderstand these words? I don't agree. Where'd that come from? You said it. Not hard, is it? It's a no-brainer. You know, I think they don't agree. How about I agree? Every time that you go to the Lord and talk to Him, pray. Okay? And you pray or speak His word to Him, you're coming into agreement. And the Lord says, it comes to pass. It puts a spiritual law in action and nothing can stop it. So, when I'm talking to Priscilla sometimes, over the few years that we've been married, sometimes when something isn't coming around, I say, we need to figure out if we're actually in agreement here. Because when you're truly in agreement with the Lord, not only have you said it, your actions line up. Now, we do pretty good lining up what we're saying, but sometimes we have to take a look at our action. When it came to the children, we spent a lot of time coming into agreement of how we were going to discipline them, how we were going to teach them, how we were going to do this. And we knew we had to be in agreement first. Let's just put it this way. God is a God of order. And that is a big deal for him. Whenever it's in order, the enemy can't get in. The enemy creates confusion and disorder because that's how he gets in. Power principle number two. The law of first. Whoever or whatever is first in your life has control of you. It's one reason why the first fruit is so important. Hello? Up until the time that I received Jesus, Lord and Savior, money was first in my life. And it had control of me. I moved where the money was. I went where the money was. You understand power principle of first? How that? And let me say this to you. It isn't God up there going, I'm going to do this to you and this to you and not do this. It isn't that. He has created everything and that's the way it works. Now, he had to do that. See, even Satan's locked into that. He can't do anything outside the Word. The way God created it. He can't. So when the power principle of agreement, what does the enemy go about doing? He wants you in disagreement. He had to get Eve to disagree with God. Didn't he? With what he said. Are you catching this? My prayer is every Sunday, every time we gather, when saints come together in our midst, you leave with some wisdom. Because wisdom is the principal thing. With all you're getting, get understanding. And when you go out there during the week, you go, I know this. Oh, I know what to do here. Wisdom is the power. God empowers us through his wisdom to take knowledge and apply it to a situation. The word says, wisdom heal them. Well, certainly I want to be in agreement. There's power there. Well, step number one, thing number one to understand, I can't come into agreement with what I don't know. So if I don't know it's the will of God that everyone be healed and be well and be healthy, I can't come into agreement with it, can I? If I don't know that it's God's will for everyone to be saved, once I know that and I come into agreement, then I can lock out that false teaching that comes, God saves some and others he don't. Then a false teaching about how you've got to earn your salvation. God saved the whole world. And that salvation in Jesus is available to everyone, even the people we don't like. You mean I got to spend eternity in heaven with him? Yes. God loves them too. Amen. Okay. Little checkup right now. What were the two power principles? Agreement? Law first. How does the law of first work? Whatever's first in your life that you choose controls you. I want to be controlled by Jesus. Because it's only reasonable. I had money as the boss. Don't work out. Keeps demanding all the time. It gets worse. Some people put drugs and alcohol and all that first. Boy, that's really bad. I've ministered to guys and say, I can't help it. I'm driving home from work and I see happy hour from 5 to 7. My car drives in by itself. I said, I got to tell you something, bud. I've never even heard that before. That's a new one. Sounds like to me, you know, that devil took control of your car. Is that crazy? But it happened. I've heard it a dozen times since then. That kind of a thing. Listen to me. You have a choice. All the time. When Jesus set you free, I mean, he set free. He gave you the right to choose. He restored your ability. How many have had it said, God wants you to surrender. He's working on breaking your will. When I heard that the first time, I thought, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. How could that possibly be when I'm like God? You think God's will is weak? Well, why would ours be weak? Part of salvation of our soul is God trying to restore our will. Have you ever been around someone who cannot make a decision? How about the we're going out to eat deal? Oh, boy. Yes. I don't care. Well, let's go to so-and-so. Nah, I don't want to go there. I thought you didn't care. Where's the problem there? No one is exercising their will to make a choice. We finally had to come to an agreement. We ain't starting the car up in the driveway until we know where we're going. And then somebody willingly has to make a decision to say, okay, wherever you want to go, I'll agree with. There's that power of agreement again. Why is all that chaos come in when you're trying to, what? Because you don't agree. The only thing you agree on is you're hungry. I want to go eat something. Right? There isn't one single married couple, and even those that are going together in their engagement period, whatever, that haven't had that happen. So what is the Lord about? He's not about breaking your will. It's about bringing you a place where you can make quality decisions, decisions of which there's no turning back. There's nothing the enemy can do to cause you to turn back. I've made that decision in the name of Jesus, and therefore I bring my will in agreement with his will, my strong will. Amen. That wishy-washy, double-minded stuff just only causes you to have worse problems. Make up your mind. Where's that in the what did Isaiah say? Elijah, how long will you vacillate between two opinions? If God be God, serve God. Jesus is Lord, make him Lord. The only place of liberty and freedom is when Jesus is Lord. Because he's the only one who will protect your right to make a decision. Amen. We don't like when we don't have a choice. We're not made that way. That's what causes rebellions. Once a government gets so oppressive that they're taken away, and I'm praying for our country that it don't get over there. You know, these ones about socialism and we gotta do this and all that. You don't understand where they're headed. They're headed toward taking away the people's choice. You'll send your children to the school we say. We will do this, you will do this, you do this, and do anything to manipulate you. We don't like that. That brings the rebellion out in us. That's why countries have revolutions. That's why United States of America in 1700s rebelled. Well, let me ask you this. Don't you think God knows that? So what do you think the works of the law does? Brings out the rebellion. You know why? Because it takes away your will, your choice. I don't have any choice. I have to. Yes, you do. So the Lord says, now you are born again. You're in the kingdom of God. You have a choice whether to sin or not. And he will protect your right to do that. Like usually religious people, we have none in here, they go crazy when I'm ministering this way. They go crazy. You have to. No, I don't have to. I'm standing in the liberty which the Lord, I will not go back into that bondage. Don't you think it's bondage when a circumstance comes up in your life and you end up saying, I can't do anything else because of that. I have no choice. That don't make you angry? It does. Looking to the government won't meet that need. Because only man only knows one thing. We need another law. That's why the laws are this thick. They don't even know how many there are. Because they think the answer is what? Well, in the body of Christ, that is not the way. I'm not going to make a law that says your beard can only be a half inch thick. I have seen the power of God move in groups of people and churches where you and I would be appalled. I'm telling you. Standing up there with tattoos all over their arms and everything and the earring and the nose ring and the power of God just moving. You don't fit our denominational standard. Well, the Holy Spirit don't fit there either. It is not possible for just this group right here for us to sit down and actually agree on every bit of doctrine. What is that? Teaching. I mean, a little different. But we're coming into unity of faith, not into the unity of doctrine. That's a totally different thing. By the way, somebody, one or more, you're praying for a family member that's you're praying for them by name for restoration, so forth, and God says, it'll come to pass, I've heard your prayer, I've answered, and it shall surely come to pass soon. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Now, let me give you one other thing that's extremely important to understand. Genesis chapter 3, turn there. And I'm actually going to put a title on this little principle, the cost of momentary pleasure. The cost of momentary pleasure. Genesis chapter 3, look at that with me, verse 1. Most of us are familiar. This is when serpent, devil shows up, goes after Eve. And verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Oppose the word directly. 180 degree turnaround. Now, we're not to be ignorant of the schemes or devices of the devil. The word device there, or the schemes, means his purpose. He doesn't attempt to do anything without a purpose. We're not to be ignorant of his purposes. Okay? Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall surely not die." Verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." Well, first of all, they were already like God. Now listen to me very carefully. The moment that you don't know who you are, that opens the door for the devil to come in and get you to do something and offer you something concerning what you already are. I'm righteous. Right? The moment that I don't believe that I'm righteous, he's going to come in and start telling you what you got to do to be righteous. You got it? You hear that? I'm a child of the Most High God. I own what I've inherited from God. And I'm a steward over it. So all the money that you get, we know that God's the source. But when he gave you that money, you own it. And you're steward over it. Now you choose to do whatever you will with it. Right? You understand that? They already were like God. He convinced them they weren't. Therefore he said, now, if you do this, if you break the law, then you'll be. There was one law. That's all they had. One. The whole Bible was one verse of Scripture. If they hadn't fallen, the Bible would still be one verse of Scripture. "For God knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable, she took of the fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, what was the deal there? Here was the deal. Let's just say, tradition says it was an apple. Doesn't say apple. It says fruit. When we were in Florida, it was orange. When we were in New England, it's apple. Okay? Could have been a mango. Could have been anything. However, here's the point. They sold out everything for 2 minutes of eating the fruit. 2 minutes of pleasure. Everything. Now, was it worth it? Was the 2 minutes of eating that fruit worth dying and what it did do? How about Esau? Genesis 25. This is extremely important to get an understanding of what actually happened here. Genesis 25. And, of course, the story goes that Esau's out hunting and all that, and his daddy liked him, Isaac, and all that, because he was a hunter and all the man stuff. And Jacob was the mommy's boy, and he'd be home cooking and all that. Well, Jacob, he's cooking up the stew. Esau comes in, he's hungry. So Jacob says to him, "I'll give you the stew if you give up your birthright." Esau says, "Absolutely. I got to have that bowl of stew right now." So he takes it, he eats it, and gives up his birthright. And it couldn't be changed. Jacob got it. Now, what does that mean? If you study Middle Eastern culture, mainly, The first son gets everything in any family. All the inheritance, everything, upon the father's death. Okay? The first. Isaac was pretty wealthy. Esau gave all that up for a bowl. How long did it take him to eat it? 10 minutes? For 10 minutes, a pleasure, he gave up the entire inheritance and the right to steward over it. In other words, Esau relinquished all the power. Are you hearing me? I want you to get this morning. Get this. It's important to understand what went on here. See, it's all in the Word of God. Everything in the Word of God. We can get all the wisdom we need to see how things work today. Same way. Now, birthright, extremely important to understand, the firstborn. Jesus was what? The firstborn from the dead. Therefore, he got what? All the inheritance from the Father. Everything the Father has is mine, and I give it to you. Because you're in me. So the Father treats all of us like firstborn.
Amen.
Amen. So the giving up of that, he said here, and this is startling, and Esau despised his birthright.
Whoa.
To trample under your feet. Despise. One who makes light of. To count worthless. Do you know how many people count this worthless? Millions. And millions. The Bible says they despise it. You give up your birthright. So how does that even apply? What does it take for momentary pleasure for you not to spend time here? My favorite TV program's on in the morning. I'm going to get 1/2 hour of real pleasure. What does it take? We know ministries. Brother Don is very well familiar, and I'm sure others, because some of them was a while back, gave up their entire ministry for momentary pleasure. Committing adultery. What will you trade and give up the power of God in your life? What momentary pleasure? Well, you know, I like to go and have some drinks with the fellas. You can. Do what you want. God going to hate you? No. God going to stop loving you? No. Does it make you unrighteous? No. Because he established that righteousness. You're in right standing with him whether you're drunk or not. But it causes trauma to our soul. You know what trauma is? Who knows any medical terms and stuff, trauma? Well, take a ruler and hit your hand for a while. That's trauma. You see what Esau... Did Esau suffer trauma after? He cried. He wept, trying to repent to get the birthright back, and he couldn't. Because it was done. By his choice. This same ploy the enemy used on Eve, used on Esau, that same thing is what he's still doing today to believers and saints all over the place. Same deal. Well, I'm sitting in the chair and I'm so comfortable and I know that it's time to go and hear the word. Yeah, you can get an hour where you're going to just make that flesh feel real good and all the rest of it. But you know what's going to happen? You're not going to have what you need. You're not going to have the wisdom that you need. God, the Holy Spirit, is constantly preparing us. That's His desire. Prepare us and give us what we need for the battle that's coming. He doesn't want us with our guard down. He doesn't want us unprepared. He wants us strong in the power of His might. And so when that bad report shows up from the doctor, you go, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that in Jesus' name. When your body is attacked, in the name of Jesus, get away from me now. Take your hands off me. And you know inside when the Holy Spirit's saying, you need to take some time to get the Word of God now. No one has to tell you. Amen. And the enemy will constantly bring you the bowl of porridge. He'll constantly appeal. You know, the cell phone was a great thing, but as always, whatever God gives us, the enemy tries to pervert it. Cell phone is through God's creativity, through somebody. Make no mistake about it. In the dark ages, there was no creativity because the Spirit of God was not on the move. And the day that, by grace through faith, Martin Luther came along, history says it was the Great Renaissance. It was only because they were hooking up with God and God was given the creativity for the printing press and all the rest. But as always, the enemy wants to come in and pervert what God has given for His use. Folks, don't make a decision to sell out your birthright for a momentary. Because once that's done, it's done. You go back to feeling bad. Not that anybody here is doing that, but we're facing a society we're dealing with, aren't we? You've got relatives. You've got friends that need to hear truth. They need to hear the Word. They need to hear about Jesus so they can be free. God's got a big, huge, giant party planned in heaven. Okay? The more, the merrier. It's like I tell my uncle every time that I see him. He's my 35-year Get Him Saved project. I said, Uncle Paul, I don't want to be sitting around the table with Mom and Dad, my mother and father, and you're not there. I want you there. And I conclude by, think about that a while. The last time I talked to him, he goes, I know more than you think I know now. Never ever believe that this word is not current today. That everything in it doesn't work today exactly what it's saying. It does. Amen. Would you follow me in this, Father? In the name of Jesus, give me the grace that I am not fooled, I am not tricked, and I don't willingly partake of a momentary pleasure and despise my inheritance, my birthright, what I'm entitled to. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.